Phil Hendry.
This is such an honor for us, and this means so much to us.
I'm not sure why he's there. I have a feeling that if somebody stood up and read Dr. King's speech...
I'm just sitting here just shaking my head. He is the cotton-picking president of...
He was able to get behind the Escalade as the Escalade was in motion and basically followed the vapor
Burn
trail.
Him all.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and News Talk and Entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. I mean, I hope so. Truth is our bitch, and that's where we go. We head toward that little thing called truth. And along the way, we do probably entertain people better than most, if not all, other radio talk shows. Glenn Beck's weekend rally, a smashing success. CBS said only 87,000 people. Michelle Bachmann said a million. National Park Service, and they've been counting people for a long, long time, people there in that area, they said around 300,000 to 350,000 people. So we're going to talk about that. Margaret Gray was there. She's going to be with us next hour to talk about her experience at the Restoring Honor Rally of Glenn Beck. Steve Bozell and Margaret Gray on the program, plus a casino to go up near Gettysburg. Wait, hold on, what is going on now? I mean, okay, the mosque, the grounds are on, a casino at Gettysburg. This is a joke, correct? Let's talk about it tonight. 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in Tampa, WHNZ, 1250 AM. WHNZ, 1250 AM in the great city of Tampa. And in Melbourne, Florida, WIXC, 1060 AM. In Melbourne. Starting things out here this evening. Oh, by the way, our website is philhendryshow.com. Never want to forget to tell you the right arm of the Phil Hendry Show, always our website. We have a brand new download for you. It's called The Brotherhood of the Cape. And if you were listening to Sunday Night Phil last night, you heard the classic R.C. Collins Hour where he talked about being goth, about being vampiric, and how they ran a weekly at Chatsworth High School called Satanic Weekly. It's all there in our podcast, which is a free download at iTunes called Brotherhood of the Cape. So check it out over there and all kinds of other things. Grab a backstage pass and get with it, man. 877-876-PHIL. All right. Next hour, we got Margaret Gray, but we are talking politics, and it's connected here this evening. The GOP takes an unprecedented 10-point lead on a generic ballot. This is a headline that was noticed by quite a few people who are paying attention to things politically these days. And one of the people that noticed this was a longtime conservative in Corona, California, Mr. Stephen Bozell, who did sort of cross the street in 2008, right, Mr. Bozell, and vote for Barack Obama. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And yes, sir, I did. And I have done that. And I think a lot of people did that, though, and I wouldn't say that, you're going to start your interview off with me talking about Barack Obama. That doesn't. Let's talk about the future of the conservatives and how they're going to, just like Mr. Beck said, restore honor to America.
All right, but, and I do want to talk about that, and I do want to talk about your conservative philosophy, but you did vote for Senator, now President Obama, in 2008.
I voted for,
You made it very public, though, didn't you?
I voted for Obama.
And you voted for, did you not support Boxer and Pelosi?
I did, and that was, if you'll understand how politics is in America, and I'm sure you do, everybody listening right now, they understand. I'm sure there are people listening right now who have voted for a liberal one day, and the next day they'll vote for conservative. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now who understand that I supported George Bush, and I voted for George Bush in 2004, Mr. Henry, and that's something that you have not mentioned.
But then you called him a war criminal, did you not? I'm just quoting...
What you're doing is you're quoting... I think you're quoting Karen Hardenbaum, who is one of the people who is in the teabag... Or excuse me, the Tea Party movement here.
You just referred to her in the, quote, teabag movement. Does that show you still have hostility toward conservatives?
I have no hostility toward conservatives, sir. I never have had hostility toward conservatives.
But you did call George Bush a war criminal? And the she is Karen Hartenbaum, right?
Ms. Hartenbaum found that in a remarks I made at a dinner that I was performing at, because I do a some stand-up comedy, and I am a construction contractor by trade, and she heard me call George Bush a war criminal, and I did. And I am very sorry for doing that. Just as I very much regret voting for Obama, and I wish that I never had voted for Obama. Now I know that I want to be, and I always have been, a conservative. And I walked back in, and I had, if we could talk about that, I'd like to talk about the, we had a social kind of a gathering at my home, and I called it the Restore Honor cocktail party, if you will. It was just as a homage to Mr. Beck. My wife and I had on Saturday night at our home.
All right. You, in other words, Mr. Bozell, it's interesting because in looking at this story, Republicans lead by a 51-41% margin among registered voters in the Gallup weekly tracking of 2010 congressional voting preferences. The 10% point lead is the GOP's largest so far this year and is its largest in Gallup's history. So there's a lot of people who are looking at the Republican Party, maybe not so much conservative movement, but the Republican Party, and they're saying maybe it's time to switch back?
You know, I never stopped being a conservative.
Well, I mean, a lot of people voted for Obama who may have been conservatives. You were one of them.
Right, but Ms. Hartenbaum said that I was jumping on the bandwagon, and I was all, you know, talking about how I thought Obama was great and everything. And I voted for him, and I did, you know, I went door-to-door for Obama, and I did call George Bush a racist, but George Bush had disappointed me because he didn't, you know, because the economy was bad. And
all right, I want to give our number out, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. All right, let's talk about this. You had this cocktail party at your house, and this had some prominent conservatives from the Inland Empire, and how did it go?
A cocktail party, and that's the reason why I was on your program. We had a cocktail party I invited to my home. My wife and I invited to our home some of the more prominent conservatives and Republicans in the Inland Empire. We had Becky Duncan and Karen Hartenbaum and her husband, Jeff, who I've known. Dave Wingate was there. I've known him for a long time. All of these people are, you might say, the kingmakers in conservative politics here in Corona, California, Riverside, and San Bernardino area. And I had them over to my home to say to them, I'm now not with Obama no more, and I want to be back with the conservatives. And I was very, to be honest with you, I was offended when they sat me down and started grilling me like I'm some just, you know, cheap punk that they found breaking into a car or something, and asked me, well, didn't you say that Bush was a war criminal? Didn't you say? And I said, I did say that, but I saw the story that you're talking about, Mr. Henry, and yes, I did see Glenn Beck's rally. And I said, and they said, oh, that's why you want to be conservative. I said, no, it's not. No, it's not, but I knew you'd bring that up to say that's why I want to be a conservative. So I am admitting that I did see the rally and I did read the story. But I want to be a conservative not because of that, but that's what I've always been.
Well, you've always been a conservative. But you've always been a conservative, but you voted for Obama and you called George Bush a war criminal. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, you keep talking about me calling him a war criminal.
Yeah. Well, you did when you were going door-to-door for Obama. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Why are you now, if not because of the success of Glenn Beck's rally, if not because of the 10-point lead that Republicans have among registered voters in the Gallup poll, if that's not why you are now returning to the conservative fold, then why are you?
Because I've seen that Obama, now I know he's not right for the country. I've seen how the double-digit unemployment that he created is bad, and I didn't think it was going to be bad. I knew we'd have to have double-digit unemployment, but I thought it was part of the recovery. But now I know it's bad. And I saw some friends of mine, they went to the Restore Honor rally, and they told me how good it was. They had a lot of fun at it. And I told my wife that I was not going to it. I didn't want her going to it. and I didn't want any of our children going with friends to it or anything. And now all these friends of mine called me up and said how much fun they were having. And another friend of mine was talking about how the GOP's leading.
And all right, so you do want to be a conservative again because of the fact that it looks like the GOP has all the power?
No, sir. Not that so much as I always was a conservative, and everybody's going to the Restore Honor rally. That's where I should be.
If you hadn't voted for Obama, called George Bush a war criminal, and basically blamed him for all of the economic problems of America.
I don't know where you're getting that information.
Karen Hartenbaum said that was basically in an email you sent her.
And I do blame him, and I did. I don't anymore, is what I said to her. I told her, and I told her husband, I don't, now I blame Obama. Now I understand how it's Obama, and I don't blame Bush anymore.
All right, so, Steve,
See, you're, Mr. Hendry, just if I could for a moment.
All right.
You're making it sound like I was a conservative, then I became a liberal, and now I want to be a conservative again. And
well, that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, but you're saying it's because I saw the Glenn Beck Restore Honor rally and the 10-point lead the GOP has.
Well, but you also said that, sir. You know,
yes, I did.
You said that you saw this great big rally and the 10-point lead the GOP has, and now you want to go back to being a conservative.
That's not why I want to go back to being a conservative. I saw how big the rally was and how much fun everyone was having at it and the 10-point lead, and I remembered that I was also, I feel like everyone's being so petty and intolerant by not letting me be a conservative again, that in many ways, you know, that's why I did vote for Obama in a lot of ways, because I knew about the intolerance that conservatives have, and, you know, racial and otherwise. Now I feel they're being intolerant.
Yeah, but how do you respond? At our number 877-876-PHIL, we're talking to Stephen Bozell from Corona, California here on him being a conservative, then going over voting for Obama and calling George Bush a war criminal, and now he's back to being a conservative. How do you say to people that it wasn't influenced by Glenn Beck's rally or the GOP taking a 10-point lead?
Because it wasn't.
Yeah, but you said you saw these things happening. And
yeah, but I remembered now how good it was being a conservative. That's what they reminded me of.
That the Glenn Beck
rally and the 10-point lead by the GOP, now I remember that's why I want to be a conservative, because they, and I think it's unfair for you to pin me down like this. I had a mixer. Those people came to it. I didn't get any commitment from them.
Yeah, but okay. All right. We need to talk about that, and we haven't even scratched the surface of that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Is Stephen Bozell, who had prominent conservatives to his home on Saturday night, explaining why it was he voted for Obama but is now back to being a conservative, and they're not buying it, and he may want to take it to another level, like a legal level, sue the Republican Party to allow him to be a prominent speaking member of their leadership again. 877-876-PHIL. Your calls with our guest Stephen Bozell next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
I can't make the words come out the way I want them to.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back. Our website, philhendryshow.com. With me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. And before we get to some phone calls, Steve, you mentioned that you had been a member of the GOP and you had been a part of their, not speakers bureau, but you had been a part of their presentation for various campaigns?
Yes, sir. I've been a part of the GOP, a Republican Party in the Inland Empire, whether it was for state senator, for state assembly, wherever the function was or whatever the rally was. I was a part of it. I do a little bit of a stand-up comedy act, and I wanted them to know when we had this cocktail party on Saturday night that I was back in the running and back, you know, I was stronger than ever and I was back in shape to be a part of the GOP. And they kept talking to me about Obama. We thought you were Obama's guy. We thought you were, you know, Bush is a war criminal. And I said, let's just forget about it, okay? You know. And,
well, how do people forget about that?
You know.
Because they're going to say, You saw the Glenn Beck rally. You see the GOP taking a lead in voters. You're just, all you want to do is be on a winning team. Fairweather fan.
No, sir, that is not it at all. See, to me, that's the cheapest way of attacking me and saying that I'm a Fairweather fan. That is so cheap and so, that's got nothing to do with it. Obama, you know, I believed in Yes We Can, but now I see he's messed it up.
And you want to be back now in the GOP, and you want to be back part of the San Bernardino, Corona, Riverside circle there in getting candidates elected.
Yes, sir. And the Fed, but I got to tell you now, we've got a legal situation because I did not get a commitment from anybody Saturday night, and I had put out, I don't know how much money on cocktail, soft drinks, everything that I had put out for that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Is Mr. Stephen Bozell, who had been with the GOP, then voted for Obama and supported Obama, and now wants back not only into the GOP, but a part of the GOP leadership out there in Corona, California. Here is Mike. Mike is listening to us in Los Angeles on KTLK. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, yeah. I just wanted to say about your guest, first of all, the fact that you want to go back to the conservative side is just basically telling me that you don't have any memory about what it was like under the Bush administration and what it could have been under the McCain administration. But either way, you should stick to your guns, just like many Americans who are conservatives.
I should have stuck to my guns and just stayed with, you know, Bush.
But well, it just sounds like you're whimpering and whining about your friends not wanting to hang out with you anymore, where you could be standing up and saying that whole thing was all... the whole Bush administration's policies were terrible. McCain would have been the same way, and Obama was the right choice.
I can't. How do you say that when they got a million people on the mall all about being conservative? You know, that's a lot of Americans that are saying he's no good.
Okay, so a lot of Americans are saying that. Why do you need to say that?
I'm not doing it because there are all those people are out on the mall. I'm just saying that's pretty interesting. I'm asking this guy. Don't you think that's interesting? Wouldn't you want to be out there too?
Yeah, I can't really hear you. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm basically saying. Oh, see, he doesn't care anymore about me.
No, the gentleman can't hear you. Okay, thank you very much, sir. Apologize. 877-876-PHIL. What he's saying is, why don't you stick to your guns and stay with Obama?
Well, because I see now that Obama, when I saw the Glenn Beck rally, and I recognized...
See, it is about the Glenn Beck rally.
No, if you'll just listen to me, when I saw the Glenn Beck rally and I saw how many people were there, I started thinking about why I was supporting Obama, and I started thinking more, and I realized that there's a million people out there who support Obama, and how can I say that, or a million people that support conservatives, how can I say I support Obama? Now,
what does that mean?
Those are a lot, that's a lot of people who suddenly see that Obama is no good. That's what a lot of, I think, people don't understand.
So all right, so now you got these guys at your house on Saturday night.
Right, and the other thing about that, as I mentioned to the caller, these people ate my cheese, they didn't eat the cheap stuff either. I had Gouda, they didn't even, you know, they're eating the Gouda and they're eating all the soft drinks.
All right, so you spent a lot of money on a cocktail party, which a lot of people have, and they didn't commit to having you back to do stand-up comedy.
That is correct. And so... I feel that either they commit to having me back to the stand-up comedy or, and I didn't want to bring this up, we got a lawsuit.
And oh, come on, Mr. Bozell. What are you going to sue them for?
To have me back as part of the GOP organizing for rallies and be a conservative.
You're going to sue them because they didn't commit to you because you called George Bush a war criminal, because you voted for Obama, because you said that Bush's policies were disastrous, et cetera, et cetera. And now you want to be back in the Republican Party, you say, because that rally that Glenn Beck had convinced you of what?
That there's a lot of people that are going to vote for Republicans, obviously. And if I'm doing my stand-up comedy,
Oh, so this is about your stand-up comedy act.
No, sir, but there's going to be more people watching it. And they won't let me. I was a conservative. I voted for 2 years. I was an Obama supporter. Now I want to be back being a conservative. And like I said, if they want a lawsuit, I guess, you know.
877-876-PHIL, back with Steve Bozell, and now a threatened lawsuit on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Talking to Stephen Bozell here from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell was a big member of the Republican Party of the Inland Empire, supported George Bush, but then jumped ship and supported Obama, and even went so far as to call Bush a war criminal because of the Iraq War. And I don't know, Mr. Bozell, if you feel bad about that or not, you know.
Of course I feel bad about it, and I apologize at the event we had on Saturday night to all of the people from the conservative leadership here in the Inland Empire in Riverside, San Bernardino, and L.A. County, and I said I was sorry, and they're sitting there, as you can imagine, eating food that that I purchased that afternoon at, I got it at Sam's Club, but we've got a caterer that's catering it and serving it out. I mean, my wife and I cut up the cheese slices, but then they put it on the plate and they take it. And these people were there, and I said to them, I'd like to be back into the conservative movement. I did call George Bush a war criminal, but I don't want to do that anymore.
And the reason is why? Because you say that the conservatives have got a great idea, and also there's more people at the rallies for your stand-up comedy.
Well, Mr. Hendry, when I did some of the stand-up comedy for the liberal groups that I talked to, but I realized you can't do any racial humor because they find that insensitive. And
anybody with a brain would find that insensitive.
I don't understand what you mean by anybody with a brain, because I don't think...
Well, give me an example. What kind of humor are you talking about?
I'm talking about simple things like, you know, it's day two of the school year. I bet you the black people are bored with it already, you know. Or
of course that's insensitive. You're going to say that in front of an Obama rally?
It's not... I can't do that in front of an Obama rally, yeah. But I would say Asian jokes.
Give me the Asian joke.
Well, sure.
All right. Well, don't if you don't want to.
Well, all it was that the Asians don't go to therapists; they open up fortune cookies. That's how they do it. But everybody told me that I could not do that kind of material at a liberal.
So you want to be a conservative so you can do your jokes, your racial jokes, at a conservative rally?
No, sir. For the fifth time, I want to be a conservative again because...
You saw all the people at the Glenn Beck rally, and that's a lot of people, and you want to go and do jokes for them. 877-876-PHIL. Mark in Burlington, Iowa, listening on KCPS. Go ahead, Mark.
No, sir, that's not it.
That's the way I'm putting it together. Go on, Mark.
This sounds like a bandwagon jumper. All he's looking for is to make as much off of the conservative party as he can. He just wants to,
I was a conservative, sir.
Oh, you were a conservative who jumped ship when the Obama thing was really popular, thought you could make some money. Now your old buddies don't like what you said about them, and they threw you out, so you're going to sue them for not being your friends. You, sir, are pathetic.
No. I have a right to be a member of the controlling of the leadership core of the conservative movement. I was.
Well, you were doing some entertaining at their functions.
Okay, so now they're telling me I don't get to. Why?
Because you're calling George Bush a war criminal? I mean, look at Newt. If you want to be a part of the Republican Party, the conservative movement, you're going to have to...
Are you telling me what do I got to do? You know, bend over?
I don't know what you call bending over, but you might have to do some supplication.
See, this man's laughing about it.
You need to stop trying to make money.
I supported Obama. I supported Obama because everybody knew Obama was going to be a great president. It wasn't like I was wrong about that.
It's a very, very hard state right now. It doesn't need people like you jumping ship, trying to make a quick buck. It needs people who are going to lead and people who are going to stand behind the Republican Party no matter what. And you, are not one of those
people. I did do that.
No, you didn't.
I did. For 2 years I didn't because everybody knew Obama was going to be a great president.
And then what do you think? He didn't become a great president?
I'm saying that Glenn Beck got more people.
Glenn Beck got more people than what? Than voted for Obama? This man's right. You know.
No, what do you call a jumping ship? Being smart? If I look and I see the sun is shining today, I think I'll wear a bathing suit. Tomorrow it's raining, but I'll wear the same bathing suit? I don't think so.
I'm sorry, sir, but a bathing suit is something you put on, you know. This is an ideal. This is a core value, and you, sir, can change your core values that quick. It doesn't say much about you as a person, not much about you as an American.
If things are happening that need to be changed, then...
Well, maybe your bank account was going down.
Okay. You know, if I can't do racial humor at a liberal rally, what do you expect me to do?
I expect you to go to a conservative rally and do it, I guess, if that's what you think you need to do.
Yeah, but you're making it sound like that's the reason why I'm doing it.
That's what you're making it sound like. Thank you very much for your call, Mark. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Chris in Detroit, Michigan, listening to us on WDTW. Go ahead, Chris.
First-time caller. And
yes, sir.
I want to say that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And this is exactly what your guest is doing.
That's baloney.
It appears that all you're thinking about is yourself, okay? You're not looking at the big picture. You're not looking at the situation of what's actually going on around us. I mean, you're not really even looking at the unemployed. How corporate America is holding on to the dollar and it's making people like you grovel. You are actually groveling.
Didn't you think Obama would be a great president? Didn't you think Obama would be a great president?
Obama's already a great president. Because it's just
Everybody knew
he's not a dictator, he's a negotiator. You understand what I'm saying? He's trying to work on both sides. He's trying to be fair about it. And so evidently, whatever you saw in Obama, it's still there. But you can't be blindsided because what you think.
No, it's not still there. Look at how messed up everything for Obama, and look at what he did.
Okay, so good. So you did a good thing. So tell your grandkids that you voted for Obama. Okay,
find another reason why you're going to vote for Obama. I don't want to vote for Obama anymore. I want to be a conservative now.
You want to be a conservative now?
Yes.
Absolutely. See how you just changed it? So what's the reason why you voted for him in the first place?
Because I thought he'd be good, but now he butchered everything up.
He butchered everything up?
Yeah.
You tell me one thing he butchered up.
Are you
kidding? Tell me one thing he butchered up.
Okay, I will. 100,000 people come out to see Glenn Beck. He butchered all those people up. They don't like him anymore.
But this is
so he butchered them up.
He butchered them up.
Obama could have had all those voters, but he butchered it.
What's 100,000 people? You know how many billions of people we got here in America? 100,000.
You know,
people?
I'll tell you one thing. Steve, I'll tell you something. On the other side of that, you know that John Kerry got 88,000 people for a rally of his. The only difference was he had Bruce Springsteen was there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to understand that it doesn't mean because there's a whole lot of people anywhere that represents any kind of a, quote, significant movement.
Okay, but Bruce Springsteen wasn't at the Glenn Beck rally. It was Glenn Beck.
Okay, but the fact is it was still 100,000 people. It's a significant number of people. It doesn't mean that the entire voter movement is going that way.
All right, what do you call it, 10% more? See, you guys, forget it. I feel I have a right to file a lawsuit because I want to sue them because I used to do the stand-up comedy for them. I don't know if this man...
So what?
Are you there, sir?
Go on. Move on.
No, sir.
You're going to let these people control your life because you used to work for them, and now you work for them because they won't give you no more play? They won't give you another popsicle? If these people brought you back on and said, "Okay, fine, you could be with us now. You could be with the Conservative Party," which is exactly what you're saying that you want. You want to be back with the Conservative Party. You would be happy.
Yeah.
You would be happy, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now.
What are you talking about? I would be happy if they'd say yes, but they came to my home, ate all of the food that I got at Sam's Club, and didn't say yes.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about.
But the principal point about it, if you're going to give out the goodness of your heart. It doesn't make a difference of whether you went 8 and left.
No.
I mean, the principal point
the goodness
about it,
of my,
it,
the goodness
it.
Of my heart.
If you don't have it, don't give it. I mean, that again, you're not really truthful. Once again, you're not truthful what you stand for.
Because I did give out of the goodness of my heart.
You perpetrate. You try to pretend like you are something, and in actuality, all of America is listening to you right now saying that you're not nothing about what you stand for.
Yes, I am. I'm a conservative through and through.
Except when you voted for Obama.
Except when I voted for Obama, but I believed in Obama, and he showed that he can't do anything right. So now I'm going to be a conservative again. And I wanted people to come out and see it, and I've served them up Gouda cheese from Sam's Club.
Give me one.
What do you mean Gouda cheese from Sam's Club? All right, look, I'm going to move on. I appreciate your call very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. That's a gentleman from Detroit. We'll go on to Greensboro, North Carolina. Richard, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm a Bahamian citizen, and I've been listening to the show, and I find guys like this is what gives American politics a horrible name, because he's making a mockery of the American system for which soldiers are dying for to protect, and he's making a complete mockery of the whole process of politics. I mean, if this was the Bahamas, which is not...
That's wrong.
He would be strung up for how he is talking. It's just absolutely ridiculous that he thinks.
Well, the Bahamas. I don't know about the Bahamas. What do you mean? Though? Be strung up? Why? Because I said that it's day two of the school year and black people are bored already.
Will you stop?
I think
please.
You're looking for new material to make yourself funny, and all you're doing is coming across as a moron who doesn't know what you're talking about. I don't even know. I don't think you know what you believe.
I have to ask you a question, sir. How can you? Why is that a mortal sin for me to say I voted for Obama, but now I see that the conservatives are making a comeback, and I want to be on over there?
Because you sound like a phony baloney. That's what everybody's saying. You sound like a phony.
How's that phony?
Well, it doesn't sound sincere to say, oh, wow, look at the conservatives really making a comeback in terms of what? Voter approval?
Yes, sir.
Then that sounds like you're just jumping the bandwagon.
No. Wrong. I voted for... you guys don't understand. I voted for George Bush, and then I saw that Obama was popular, yeah, and I voted for Obama, and now I saw what Glenn Beck did, and I want to be a part of that. But what's wrong with that?
Am I still on?
You're still there, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, you're still there.
Go ahead.
I mean, I understand. When you vote, most people vote for their...
Am I still on, too?
Yeah, you're on, too.
Most people vote their beliefs. This guy is just voting for his next punchline, and that's what I find completely offensive. This guy... is making a mockery of American soldiers are dying in the blood so that he has the right to make a fool of himself, and he takes that totally for granted. And he wants to cry
about
Gouda cheese. He wants to cry about Gouda cheese from Sam Club. I mean, give me a break. It's ridiculous.
No. I spent a lot of money on the platter. That's all I'm saying for the people that came to my house.
It's your choice.
It was my choice, but I expect to get something back from it. If I'm spending all that money on a deli platter, with the different cuts of meat.
Yeah, see...
Mr. Boza, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Richard. Go ahead.
You can't be taken seriously because all you do is look for a new punchline for your next routine. And unfortunately, you're trying to use the Republicans as a stepping stone for that again. And if I was them, I'd kick you out, too, because you don't deserve to be a Republican because you don't have any backbone and you don't stand for nothing.
I'm going to sue.
Yes. Thank you very much, sir. You're going to sue who, man? Who are you suing? And for what?
I'm suing Michael Steele.
And for what?
For not allowing free commerce. I mean...
Not allowing free commerce.
I want to be in a Republican leadership, and they said no.
And all of that money... By the way, Sam's Club, are you talking about Costco?
Yes, sir. What did I say?
You said Sam's Club. Sam's Club ain't been around here for years.
Okay, so does that make me a bad man?
God. Does it make you what, Batman?
Batman.
877-876-PHIL. Good Lord. Steve Bozell coming back. A man who supported George Bush, then decided to support Obama, and now he sees Obama sinking. And he sees the conservatives doing well, and now he wants to be conservative again, and the conservatives won't let him back in, and now he's going to sue Michael Steele. Unreal. We'll be back, plus more to come. Paris Hilton arrested for cocaine possession. Now, see, that surprises me.
What? This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Understand again.
I don't know what Paris Hilton is.
Well, she's a conservative, and they released her without bail. That means that here's a woman who's getting a consideration that I get people over to my home, and as I mentioned, Mr. Hendry, we spent probably about $3,000 on deli, you know, when the platters, the deli platter, and Paris Hilton is out on bail. You know.
Well, if you're telling me that Paris Hilton's a conservative and she got out on bail, and that shows that she's getting some consideration that you didn't get Saturday night when those people would not commit to having you back, I think that's a stretch.
No, I do.
877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell with us as he talks about the fact that he was a Bush fan, then he became an Obama fan, and now he's a conservative fan again, and the leadership out there in Corona, they don't want him speaking at their events. Here is Justin in Portland listening to us on KXFT. Justin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what the caller's name is that you have on there. I just wanted to say, though, that I don't hold anything against him for switching political parties. But it seems like he's. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My name is Steve. By the way, ask me my name.
Okay, I'm having a little trouble hearing you, but at any rate.
Yeah, can you hear us? Well, say it again, Steve.
My name is Steve. My name is Stephen Bozell, sir. I don't know if you could hear that.
His name's Stephen Bozell, Justin? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Stephen. Well, at any rate,
yes, sir.
Okay,
yes.
You switch parties, that's one thing. But, you know, anybody can switch parties or, you know, have a change of opinion. But you're doing this purely, in my opinion, you know, to further your career as, it sounds like, kind of a poor comedian. I mean...
I do stand-up comedy for different political events, but it's not why I'm doing it. I'm saying that I want to be a conservative again because I see that that's where everybody's going. And yes, also, okay, it would help me as a stand-up comic because there's more people. Plus, I do a lot of racial humor, and that doesn't play at these liberal events. And I'm not a racist. I just do very, just things that I do.
Yeah. A lot of people that are invested in the racial humor, that's a thin veil for their own racism, you know.
Well, I don't agree with that at all. I mean, Chris Rock, come on.
Chris Rock is making jokes about his own people, okay?
Well, I voted for Obama, and I said his nose looked like a boat anchor. I'll give you an example of racial humor. I said his nose looked like a boat anchor, but I voted for him.
His nose looked like a boat anchor. That's a standard anti-black joke wherever you go.
No, sir, it's not, because I wrote that.
You didn't write Diddly Squat. I've heard that a million times. Justin, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Bill in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Bill, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Steve, how y'all?
A boat anchor line. I'm good. Thank you. I wrote that boat anchor
line. No, you didn't write any boat anchor line. Yes, Bill.
Number one, Steve, I don't think that you're any kind of a conservative. You don't have any desire to be one. You're nothing but a plant.
Yeah, I do.
If you're going to bring up specious arguments about Obama, who, you know, was elected, I didn't vote for him. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a registered independent. I try to vote for the right person, but my reason for not writing him is because nobody knew anything. He never said anything. But, you know, COVID changed. You know, I really had to go backwards to vote for McCain. It hurt
all
me.
All the stuff he said was good stuff.
But if you're going to make an argument about, you know, butchering a thing, no, that's just wrong. If you want to bring up the fact that he said vote for this right here and unemployment won't go over 8%, well, you know, here in North Carolina, it's well over 8%.
I said that to him on Saturday. I said that to him on Saturday night. I said, here's the reason why I want to be a conservative, because it went over 8%. And they go, you're lying.
Conservatives don't want you because you're not a real person. You're nothing but a shield.
Oh, is that right? Meaning
yeah,
what?
That's,
meaning
that's,
I'm
that's
really
right. You had nothing. You said nothing tonight to make any sense whatsoever. You're an ignorant.
Excuse me, sir. I said, didn't I say that Glenn Beck's rally shows that the conservatives?
Oh, well, yeah, oh, yeah.
That's,
oh, yeah.
That's where you want to be.
People, there's 100,000 people at the Glenn Beck rally, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but the National Mall holds 750,000 people, and they were turning people away. The National Park Service, though, there was quite a few more than 100,000 people there.
Okay.
And
Glenn Beck, so they,
Glenn
that's
Beck
what,
is not a.
That's what I'm
Glenn
saying.
Beck, excuse me, sir, but Glenn Beck.
That's what I'm saying. I want to be with Glenn
official.
Beck.
He's not a
yeah, but it's
official.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Well, who? Of course they went by choice. That's why I want to be a conservative. And you say that I'm. Well, you think I'm
yeah,
voting
I think
Obama?
You're a shill.
Yeah,
I
right.
Think, I think you're a shill. You're up there trying to make real conservatives.
You're a, you know what? No, wrong.
Yes, yes.
Wrong, and I'll tell you why.
Wrong.
I know more about being a conservative than anybody. Not anybody, but more than you do.
Yeah, you want to do the boat anchor line again?
Okay, Obama's nose.
We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Something beyond imagination is happening.
Soon after I said that, I started getting some tweets from some of you saying, you just said
this is an existing facility. It's existed for almost 40 years.
This is such an honor for us, and this means so much to us. I can't begin to tell you.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is and always will be our bitch. Mm-hmm. Margaret Gray joins us this hour. She was at the Restore Honor rally in Washington, Glenn Beck's rally, and she's going to talk to us about that. And she'll talk to us, by the way, about it coming from the standpoint of a Democrat, of a liberal. Still to come, a casino at Gettysburg. Come on, man. They're really piling it on now, huh? Mosque at Ground Zero, a casino at Gettysburg, and a water park at Mount Rushmore. How about that? 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhendryshow.com. The right arm of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where thousands and thousands of hours of this remarkable and groundbreaking radio show have been stored. Someone has to store these precious tapes, these archived hours of greatness, and that is where they are, at our website. You can access those, just like the Library of Congress or the Huntington Library. You can access those with a backstage pass. Go over to our backstage pass and listen to some of the greats. We have right now, in fact, a podcast at iTunes, which is called Brotherhood of the Cape, reflective of a bit we did back in 2000 with R.C. Collins. And funny, man, you may not recover. It's all over there in our archives, along with our daily videocast, which is on right now. In fact, I've got kind of a tight shot, if you'll pardon the expression, on myself right now. And we have live streaming audio of the show right now, and you can download everything tomorrow as well as a 5-day archive. PhilHendryShow.com. So let's talk, first of all, before we bring Margaret Gray on the line, about Glenn Beck's Restore Honor rally yesterday. And the big news today, it's kind of amusing, is really how big was the crowd? Well, I'm looking at an aerial shot of it right now, and folks, it's a huge crowd. It's probably 500,000, and I've never counted crowds before in my life. I'll put it at 400,000. How's that sound? It's enormous. They're looking at an aerial shot of this crowd, and as we have said on Twitter, which is where we are, twitter.com/realphilhendry, on Facebook, facebook.com/philhendry, and, you know, other places. This has been a marketing promotional. It is a broadcast coup, the likes of which I don't even think, with the greatest respect to Howard Stern, I don't even think Howard's been able to pull this off, although Howard's movies made a lot of money. But this is huge for Glenn, for his television show, and for, you know, for what it is that he wants to say. So there's no question that this is a momentous event from the standpoint, if nothing else, of just how far talk radio has come. Because keep in mind, Glenn Beck is on Fox News, but it was talk radio that created this phenomenon. It was talk radio, quite frankly, that created Fox News. Glenn kicked off the radio show today by saying that he thought at least 500,000 by his count. He says he's waiting for the real numbers. Even though Beck is still tabulating a crowd estimate, it could be expected to be significantly higher than the summer than the numbers CBS reported. CBS, in one of the most blatant examples of biased reporting, said there were 87,000 people in the crowd. And it was CBS is just no hiding the editorial slant of that network. I mean, they're just a slightly larger with they're like MSNBC with way, way bigger salaries and far more debt. So let's listen here to the rally at the Restoring Honor rally this weekend. Here is Glenn Beck, who takes a religious tone during the speech.
Something beyond imagination is happening. Something that is beyond man is happening. America today begins to turn back to God.
Beck says it's time to focus on the good things America's created instead of focusing on the bad things the nation has done.
For too long, this country has wandered in darkness, and we have wandered in darkness in periods from the beginning. We have had moments of brilliance and moments of darkness. But this country has spent far too long worried about scars and thinking about the scars and concentrating on the scars. Today we are going to concentrate on the good things in America, the things that we have accomplished and the things that we can do tomorrow.
This is NAACP President Ben Jealous. Is that the guy's name? Ben Jealous talks to CNN about the rally.
I'm not sure why he's there. I have a feeling that if somebody stood up and read Dr. King's speech to that crowd, they would not get applause. And it's disturbing that he felt compelled to do something that Dr. King never had to do, which is to tell his followers to leave their signs and their guns at home.
All right. In an interview on NBC News, President Obama addresses whether or not he caught the rally on television.
I did not watch the rally. I think that one of the wonderful things about this country is that any given moment, any group of people can decide, you know, we want our voices heard. And so I think that Mr. Beck and the rest of those folks were exercising their rights under our Constitution exactly as they should.
On MSNBC's Morning Joe, Howard Dean calls Beck crazy and his followers lost.
I think Glenn Beck has got a few things the matter with him up here and up in the head there. So I just don't know what to make of it. I mean, what I see is these folks are kind of, and I don't mean this in a mean kind of way, but they're a little like lost souls in the sense that they really do, they're at sea. The country's changed a lot. They're in the middle of a horrible economic downturn, which has probably affected a lot of them personally. So they follow this guy who is like Father Coughlin from the 1930s.
He's a hate monger. Howard.
Wow. Father Coughlin, who he's referring to, turned out to be a vicious anti-Semite and eventually lost his position as a broadcast darling in America in the 1930s. That's a little... also on MSNBC, the New York Times columnist Charles Blow. What the hell is with these names, man? Charles Blow and Ben Jealous accuses Beck of trying to rhetorically assassinate the president.
Beck is an incredibly divisive figure, and no amount of him wrapping himself in a flag and hiding behind a cross is going to scrub his history of the things that he has said and done. And he is part of what I see as a rhetorical assassination of a good man.
All right, so there you have, the commentary of a variety of people. We've got somebody who was there at the rally, and she's still in Washington, D.C. tonight. It is Margaret Gray. And Margaret, thanks for being with us.
Well, Phyllis, it's great to be on your program to talk about this.
All right, so you were there. First of all, how many people were there?
Well, Phil, I don't know. To tell you pretty much what you said, I don't get paid to count crowds, how many people are in crowds. I will say that I don't think it was 500,000 people. I think that was the number you put at it.
Well, I did see this aerial shot, you know.
Well, aerial shots are very misleading because there are wide spaces on the ground where there are no people at all. And then you'll see lots of people. I don't know. I think It wasn't 300,000. CBS said 87,000. I would say around 100, 120,000. You know,
100 to 120,000, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Margaret, what was your impression of the Restore Honor rally? You've listened to Howard Dean there. You've listened to some other people. Give me your impression.
Well, Phil, I thought it was ironic that it was called a Restore Honor rally because what I'm going to tell you tonight has very little to do, I think, with honor. If you're going to say that you are restoring honor, and then when a woman is walking through the crowd and walking through a very dense part of the crowd to get up closer to the speaker's podium, and she can feel you or others touching her, grabbing her.
You're talking about yourself?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. When that woman can feel you putting your hand on very private areas of her body, is this an honorable crowd? And Phil, this is...
Well, hold on for a minute, because what you're telling me now is against the law.
Well, I'll tell you this.
If what you're telling me, if that happened to you, is you're walking through the crowd, okay?
Yes.
And people were touching you?
On three different instances, Phil, as I left the area, I came back down from the Capitol. And I was walking, and I headed toward the monument and then toward the Lincoln Memorial. I felt at least three hands as I got into the very, very thick part of the crowd. I felt three individuals reach out and grab or squeeze. So I think you know what I'm talking about, parts of my body. I looked around. I didn't see anyone. It's very hot, and it's very, very crowded. And the only thing I could do, really, was just to look. I looked back. I saw faces. I couldn't make out who. But I don't find that very honorable. I don't find it that...
Well, why did you not go to the police?
What's that?
Why didn't you go to the police?
Phil, it was virtually impossible to tell who it was or why. By the time I got to a police officer and told him about it, it's very, very likely the individual that did what, did what he did would be gone. But I don't call that an honorable crowd. So if it is restoring honor, and the crowd that is there to restore honor has it at men who are reaching out and squeezing or grabbing a part of a woman's body that is walking by, there's no honor there. There's no honor in that crowd, Phil. When you see men lighting cigarettes, lighting pipes, lighting cigars within 10 or 15 feet of children, there's no honor. There is no honor in a crowd.
Well, that's a little different, though, from...
No, it's not different at all. Well, in your opinion, all right. But there is no honor in that crowd.
I think that... Don't you think that that is different?
Well, you asked me to report here, Phil. Am I going to answer to everything that I say here, I don't want to have to defend. I'm just telling you.
All right.
There is no honor in a crowd where the men are lighting cigarettes and cigars within 10 or 15 feet of children. There is no honor in a crowd where I see a man, as I did, about 20 minutes after this incident of being grabbed, spitting into the reflecting pool, which is a part of our national monuments there. And this man, Frank said he hocked one up and just hocked it up. That is not honor.
Well, Margaret, you're talking about a guy that smoked in front of a kid and a guy that hocked into the reflecting pool, examples of no honor.
That is an example of a crowd that is there at a restoring honor crowd, and there is no honor on top of that, obviously. And, one other thing. I clearly smelt marijuana smoke. Now,
are you absolutely sure?
I am absolutely sure I could smell the aroma of marijuana smoke. Most of the people at that rally are very conservative people. They would not recognize marijuana smoke if they smelled it, but I did. So what kind of honor is this crowd trying to restore? That is the question, I think, and there's a lot more, Phil.
All right, hold on. Margaret Gray with us here. 877-876-PHIL in the, she was at the Restoring Honor rally there in Washington, D.C. She asks, she claims that she was manhandled, that she was touched or she was fondled as she walked through the crowd. She said she smelled marijuana smoke. She saw men and women smoking cigarettes within 10 or 15 feet of children, and she saw a man hawk into the reflecting pool. Is that an honorable crowd? 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Margaret Gray in just a moment.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, our website, philhendryshow.com. And Margaret Gray, who is at the Restore Honor rally in Washington this past Saturday. And a big, big crowd, Margaret. Now, you're claiming there was 100,000, but I'm telling you that I'm looking at an aerial shot here. And
well, what is the website or what's the photographic service?
I don't know. Hold on for a minute. Maybe Jason can tell me. But it's a huge, huge crowd. Okay.
Well, Phil, I'm glad to know that Breitbart is hard at work photoshopping for Beck's people. I'm glad to see that. You know, Al Sharpton also had a rally there that day. We also had a lot of tourists on the mall. I don't know how it is you differentiate between Sharpton's people, the tourists on the mall, and the Restore Honor rally. I also think that a lot of people were hired to come in, stand around for the length of time that it took the photographers to get their pictures from the aerial perspective, and then these people were released to go home.
Oh, come on. I mean, how can you possibly organize something like that? You know, how do you get people...
Well, I've seen it done a million times, but let's say that the crowd was there. Let's say that a half a million people were there. I have to tell you, Phil, it was a half a million people looking to find a attractive woman walking through the crowd looking to get a news story and sticking their hands up under her skirt.
Are you telling me now that as you were walking through that crowd, people put their hands under your skirt?
I am telling you that had I been wearing a skirt, that definitely would have happened. As it was, I was in a pair of jeans, and it was quite aggressive because it was as if someone almost wished I had on a skirt because the motion of the hand was up, and it was an upward motion, as if you were sticking your hand under a woman's skirt. This happened three times. I also saw women there that looked as if they wanted that to happen to them. They were dressed in a very, very, very inappropriate two-piece bathing suit with Uncle Sam hats, this kind of thing. Their rear ends hanging out of these suits, Phil. Really, that's the only way I could describe it.
Well, you say two-piece bathing suits are pretty common, you know.
Well, yes, they are, but when have you seen a woman purposefully pull the cover up into her rear end so she can show both cheeks? Almost
like she wants to wear a thong?
Well, it looked to me like at least one side of this gal's suit was pulled up that way.
Well, Margaret, if she's wearing a two-piece bathing suit on a hot summer day, I don't think that's unusual. You know,
you asked me to report on something. I was there, you weren't. And I am telling you what I saw. Let me ask you this. Do you usually see pubic hair?
Margaret, all right. If look at.
Do you usually see?
If that's what you saw, I will take your word for it. I don't want to get into that. 877.
Bill, I'm just saying, yeah, this is a Restore Honor rally. Where was the honor?
877-876-PHIL. But so far what you've told me is that you got assaulted, and that I take seriously. There was a man smoking a cigarette near a kid. There was a guy that spit into the pond. A woman was wearing a two-piece suit that you felt. And if you did see what you saw, then yes, that would be at least occasion for the woman to think before she puts the suit on. And I think you said you saw one other thing. I forget what it was. But the entire point of this is that only one thing, really, you know. Oh, and you think you saw photoshopped pictures of the event.
One thing.
That would be you, I think, if there were guys grabbing you, you know.
And the man, and I smelled marijuana smoke.
All right, the smelling of marijuana smoke, I don't know if you get 500,000 people in America, the number of people smoking dope, I don't know you're going to keep that out. You know.
Phil, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. We're talking about conservatives. Restore honor, and they're blowing pot. I don't know how that's restoring honor.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. I got blowing pot. Chuck. Oh, we got a break here, Chuck. You'll be the first guy out here, man. I apologize, but I've been getting the information here from Margaret. A lot of it, Margaret, I understand. Some of it sounds as if it might be a little bit biased on your part. We're trying to get the information as best as we can.
Well, Bill, I said there was 100,000 people, and you've just said to me, well, you know what? I think I'm going to decide not to believe you. I'll believe the Photoshop pictures from Breitbart.
You have yet to tell me how, if at all, you know they were photoshopped. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray with us here, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about the Restore Honor rally in Washington. I have said that I saw the crowd myself in this overhead photograph. Margaret, you say it's photoshopped. It looks like a very impressive crowd. My God, some people are saying it's a million, but let's just be, you know, we'll be conservative, say it's 500,000. But no way is it 120,000 or 100 or 87,000, which is what CBS has been putting out. Now, what's their problem?
I don't, Phil. You're talking about CBS. You've heard of Walter Cronkite.
Margaret, I've heard, of course, of Walter Cronkite.
But then you know the reputation that CBS News has, and you know...
It's been a long, long time since Walter Cronkite. A long time since that man was walking the newsroom at CBS, okay?
That is Edward R. Murrow, Walter Cronkite. Okay? That is the legacy of CBS News. Who else? We're talking about Charles Collingwood. We're talking about Eric Severide. So don't tell me, Phil, that CBS is suspect, and don't give me that MSNBC with a bigger budget, because that is slander.
And all right, Margaret, then it was 87,000 people. You say that was 87,000 people without honor.
When they reach up the leg of your jean as if they wished you were wearing a skirt,
877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray saying that she was at the Restoring Honor rally. She saw people smoking. She smelled marijuana smoke. She saw women in a two-piece suit, so on and so forth.
Don't blow it off like it's nothing, Phil. You know, I saw the fast food litter.
Well, 500,000 people. You know, they call Woodstock one of the greatest events ever, and the garbage there was unbelievable. Let's talk to Chuck in Topeka, Kansas, listening on WIBW. Go ahead, Chuck. You're back with us. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I think that the lady is overgeneralizing completely when she assigns the entire crowd to the actions of a very few people. Obviously, people that drove women have... Madam, please let me finish. Please do not interrupt
me. I don't know, just a few. I still don't want to
interrupt me.
Yes, let the gentleman talk.
Now, obviously, people that would grope anybody, woman or child or whatever, has no business being in a situation like that. As far as people smoking in an open-air situation like that, the smoke is not going to affect children. It's not going to affect anyone because it's going to be blown up into the wind and carried away. You know, you're obviously worried about, you know, free speech for people and concerned about that. How about when, you know, the Speaker of the House, Pelosi, says those people that are involved in the Tea Party movement should be investigated? You know, what they're exercising their free speech and they should be investigated? Let me finish, please, ma'am. You know, no one's interrupting you. Please show the same courtesy.
What about the man? What about
please
me
show the
groped?
Same courtesy, ma'am.
I am showing
courtesy.
Courtesy
is a two-way street, ma'am. I'm not, you know, I'm just going to keep
sometimes
it around.
Sometimes it's an alley.
Please let me speak.
Sometimes it's a dead-end alley.
Please let
me
speak.
Let the man talk. Go ahead, Chuck.
You know, if you remember the voting issues in Philadelphia, where members of the new Black Panther Party stood outside voting areas, slapping their palms with batons and intimidating people from voting, but they will not be, you know, looked at in any way as far as prosecution goes for voter interference because, you know, from our current administration will not, by their own statements, will not prosecute blacks for civil rights violations on whites.
What are you talking about?
Now, ma'am, you're refusing to look at the reality of the situation.
Those were pool cues. Those were pool cues. They were not batons. And my understanding is they had, and they had come out of a pool hall.
Let's stick with the rally. I don't want to go off.
No, he brought it up.
No, I don't want to go off on a tangential, however tangential it may be, topic. Let's stick to what the gentleman is saying. An open air.
I guess the marijuana smoke, too.
Well, the marijuana smoke, how do you know that you smelled weed?
Excuse me?
All right, so in other words, you know what weed smells like, and you smelled that where?
Phil, I didn't want to have to say this, but it was at its thickest right in front of Glenn Beck. Now, I don't know what that says. Whether Mr. Beck himself...
Oh, come on.
That is where I smelled it. When I got up to the stage... Is the gentleman there? Is he laughing at me?
I don't...
I beg your pardon?
That's ludicrous on the face of it, madam. To say it might have been Mr. Beck himself.
I'm saying it was at its very thickest right in front of the stage.
And then you said, I don't know if it was Mr. Beck himself.
Now,
that's ludicrous to even allege.
I don't remember that. I don't remember saying that.
You just said it. You just said it.
I was talking about people with Mr. Beck. Or are they smoking it?
It may have been Mr. Beck himself. I mean,
it might have been Mr. Beck.
Talk about slander statement.
That's right. That's against the law. You talk about Glenn Beck smoking weed at his own rally. Is that what you're saying happened?
I'm saying that he might have greenlit the use of it by staff members.
Greenlit the use of it. This guy is going to be up there with 500,000 people, and he's going to go ahead and blast up. His reputation being on the line?
I don't know, but I can tell you what Howard Dean said. And I heard another guest on your program say the same thing. So when you look at a lot of these Tea Party people, they look like they've already taken a few hits of acid. You know it. I know it. He knows it.
Oh, my goodness.
You see that? You see how he laughed?
All right. Oh, yeah. Why not? Why not laugh at it? All right, Chuck, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Why not laugh at it?
Why laugh at it?
Why not?
Why?
Why not?
All right, I'll tell you why not if you'll tell me why. Why laugh at it?
Why laugh at it? Because it's stupid.
All right, here's why not laugh at it. Because it just might very well prove to be true that a long time ago, somebody in that crowd took LSD.
Well, I don't doubt that they did. A whole bunch of baby boomers. That's basically who those people are. 877-876-PHIL. Here is David in Dallas listening on KFXR. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, thank you for having me on your
yes,
show.
Sir. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, first of all, I want to say to Margaret that I appreciate her opinions, but they're so way off base. And
I was there. Were you? I smelled the weed.
But, man, you need to let me finish, because even though I was not there, my parents drove all the way up there from
a
Texas.
Cloud of weed.
And you're missing
the
point. The whole point is that they're outside. You're going to have all that stuff. Yes, it's wrong to be groped, but that's hearsay also coming from you. And not to make light of you being groped, but you're steering us all in a totally different direction so that the listeners on this show can avoid the true fact of what really
well, isn't it called restoring honor?
Was,
wasn't it
was
about restoring
going
honor?
On. It, it,
isn't it about restoring
thing.
Honor?
Yes, exactly.
And if it's
it was
about restoring
honor. You can't
then
judge.
What's honorable about squeezing a woman's butt cheek?
You cannot judge the entire
group of people, half a million people, judge them on the actions of one or two people.
I had my butt cheek squeezed about three times. That's three people.
Point. Be quiet, please. Let me make a point. You probably had a lot of people from Texas up there, and down here, it is okay to smoke cigars and cigarettes in front of kids. Now, I'm not saying that happens around me. I'm in more of an upper middle class environment, but down here, people do smoke cigars around kids. That's the lifestyle in Texas, and it may not be up there, but I'm sure, you know, when you saw things like that, it was different to you.
Do they wear bathing suits?
There is no law that says that they cannot smoke cigars or cigarettes out there. Now, the pot thing,
about honor.
You know, it kind of makes me laugh a little bit about the pot thing, because I'm kind of, you know, it takes me back to, like, to the days of the hippies and the protest, and it makes me feel good that we are having these rallies now, so that people actually, you know, can sit there and plus the pot probably would calm a lot of people down so that, you know, they don't get in arguments with people like
you. You know, the other thought that I had, I want to just mention, the other thought I had is, I don't know what the law is in D.C. about open smoking of weed. It's probably maybe a misdemeanor. So it's not a vicious, horrible crime.
And have either, let me ask this gentleman, in Texas, do they wear bathing suits?
Complaint that she
do the women wear bathing suits in Texas with pubic hair sticking out?
You know, you've been saying that now, Margaret, for the last, you came up with that whole thing about pubic hair sticking out of the bathing suits, all right?
I'm asking the gentleman, do they do that in Texas? I don't think so.
I can barely understand what you're saying.
Do the women in Texas wear bathing suits with their pubic hair sticking out the side like hay?
God.
Well, it depends on what part of Texas you're in. Maybe in Austin or someplace, but I'm in Dallas.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
All right, sir, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret, I think a lot of people are laughing at your, you know.
Oh, by the way, here it is. Possession of any amount of weed in Washington, D.C. Hold on for a minute, because I've got it right here. Possession of any amount of weed in D.C. is a misdemeanor that carries a six-month possible jail sentence. So I was right. It's a misdemeanor.
I said it was a misdemeanor. You thought it was something more serious.
Well, it's a six-month jail sentence. At the Restoring Honor rally that Glenn Beck had, I get touched in my you-know-what. Up, the hand went up. And there's no denying that the hand went up. I smell marijuana smoke that'll put you away for 6 months in a county lockup in D.C. Good luck. I see women in bathing suits that are so small and skimpy. This white trash, you can see the pubes coming out. Carl's Jr. bags item.
All right. There's a lot of people saying it. I'll say it again. It sounds like you're cherry-picking a lot of stuff here. We'll be right back. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Margaret Gray about the Restoring Honor rally. She says there wasn't any honor at the Restoring Honor rally. She smelled weed smoke. She got groped as she went through the crowd. She saw people smoking cigarettes in front of kids. She saw a guy hawk a loogie into the reflecting pool and all kinds of things. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.
That's a loogie. What's that?
You said it.
No.
Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here. Dean Wheeler's going to be a guest tomorrow night. Right now we have Margaret Gray with us, and she is talking about her trip to D.C., where you still are, Margaret, to see the Restore Rally, a store honor rally, Restore Honor Rally. And your main, and the title of your column today, Restoring Honor, Was There Honor to Be Restored? I think you missed the point of the rally.
No, Phil, I don't think I missed the point of the rally. I think the rally's intent and theme was clear. But was there honor there to be restored in the sense that I'm standing in front of the speaker's podium, I'm smelling marijuana smoke, I can feel a knuckle up there, I
All right, I don't want to get graphic, okay?
Well, I am. Frank just said it, I'm still sore today. And they had the Ben Day, the kids are getting the Ben Day, yeah.
877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call here from Mobile, Alabama, and I believe there was a lady that was there. Yeah, Tia was at the rally. Hi, Tia. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. Yes, I was there, and I have to say I was really impressed with our event. It was a very peaceful event. You know, I didn't witness any of these things that Margaret is talking about. I didn't see anyone that was dressed inappropriately. I didn't hear any negative or bad language from anyone. She hasn't said that, but nothing negative was going on. The thought that someone would stand down there in front of the stage smoking pot, I think that's a little ludicrous. I believe there is an agenda going on.
Well, I was right up front. I could smell, and it was difficult for me to imagine that Mr. Beck couldn't smell it because he was staring at me half the time, which I was very uncomfortable with that.
Who was?
Glenn Beck was looking down from the stage, trying to look down.
What?
You know, that is so silly. You have an agenda, obviously.
No, yes, I do
yes.
not. That, no,
yes,
I,
you do.
Excuse me. You were there. You were there, right? You
yes,
were there,
I was,
right?
I drove 1,000 miles
did you
to
not,
there,
did
and it was worth
right,
every
did you
mile.
Not, are you telling me you didn't smell weed?
I did not smell weed, period.
That is a lie.
That is
a, oh, come on,
a
if she didn't...
That is a bald-faced...
Really? I
All
mean,
right,
who,
let me ask you something.
Who's going to stand in a crowd of that many people, you know, and fire one up? Give me a break, lady.
It happens Oh, my God, it happens all the time. It happens
well,
all the time.
Maybe
at a... At a gathering of kids, maybe a concert or something, this is a bunch of people who are politically minded. They have their families there. They are there to hear about the future of the country. It's a completely... different environment.
Oh, really, Mr. Hendry? And you're an expert how?
Excuse me, Margaret, can you ever be quiet? I was there, and there was nothing political about this. This was a focus, you know, it was about recognizing that we do all have differences, and it's okay to have differences, but there are some common ground things that we can agree on, and there are some values that we can agree on. There are many things in that regard that can agree on.
Exactly what I found wrong with it.
There is honor. Excuse me. There is honor.
I got broke.
There is charity. You know what? If you did, I'm sorry. If one or two or three people broke you, you know what? What am I to believe about you?
To the point.
Why didn't you leave?
To the point that I'm sore today from it?
If you were so offended, if all these things were going on, why didn't you just leave?
Because I was working the event. I'm a reporter. I wasn't there just for my kicks or my health. Or I didn't just, you know, I was there. I had to be there, and I got
okay,
broke.
Okay, so now you're telling me that people, just, you know, average people who are there in front of a reporter are going to be smoking pot and groping the reporter. Do you know how ridiculous you sound? I mean, honestly, you sound ridiculous.
You know, how do I explain to you that this is something that happens in large crowds? Just because I'm a reporter doesn't mean I'm wearing a sign. I don't wear a sign that says I'm a reporter. I'm there. I've got a tape recorder. You know, are you telling me you're a woman? You've never been touched in a crowd?
Well, let me tell you what. If I am in a crowd,
oh my God, if
I am in a crowd of people, what? You know, it's a little hard to not make contact. But you know what? Let me tell you what I experienced. There were
How would you
moving,
feel if you got a knuckle?
Would you please?
How would you feel if you got a knuckle?
Would you? You know what? Would you hide?
Margaret, be quiet.
I asked her how she'd feel if she got a knuckle.
People. I have never in my life, I'm not a big crowd person, but I went there because I wanted to be a part of this, drove 1,000 miles to be there. People were everywhere. It was hot. And, you know, when people were trying to move around, all I saw the whole time, all of the entire time, were people being polite and stepping back and smiling and just, you know,
yes.
and singing.
Yes,
and
to your face.
You know, there was all these wonderful things going on, and yet, you know what, you somehow fail to see any of the, if these things really happen, you know, that's regrettable. I don't believe you for once. Would you please?
I don't believe you for one second.
I'm telling you, I don't believe you.
Another
However,
woman,
I
two women.
Give you the benefit. Would you hush?
That you won't back up another woman. That I took knuckles
Excuse
that day.
Me?
You won't back me up.
It's, you know what? I don't need. It's not about that. Here's the deal. You know what? If you could say something good, if you're telling me that you were there, you saw nothing positive or good. Or joyful out of the whole event, if that's all you can come up with, if maybe there's a couple of derelicts in the crowd, which I didn't see any or hear any or see anything in any way that I would question.
What did you see that was good, Margaret? Didn't you see anything there that was good, that gave you a good feeling?
Well, as a woman, and I'm speaking as a woman, and I hope that Tia, at some point in this conversation, will speak as a woman, too. It was very difficult for me to see anything positive after I got knuckled right in front of Glenn Beck.
Knuckled? Yes. I don't know what that means.
Ask Tia.
What does that mean, Tia?
I guess.
Well, now she thinks it's funny. Now she thinks it's funny.
What?
You think it's funny
not that it's
I took
funny.
A, that I got knuckled?
Here's what I'm saying. You know, you can't ever, for a reporter's supposed to listen and observe, but you don't do very much of that.
Exactly. Listen, Tia, you're very, very nice to call us. And Margaret, thank you. We have to leave the air, not leave the air, but we've got to get to a break. I appreciate it very much. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Margaret, thank you.
You know, I really, really do hope that no matter how good you've been, when you die, they say, there's room in hell. Thank you and good day. Good day.
Wow.
Phil Hendry.
Good day.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Soon after I said that, I started getting some tweets from some of you saying, you just said cotton-picking president of the United States.
Beck is an incredibly divisive figure, and no amount of him wrapping his
Soon
up in a flag.
Soon after I said that, I started getting some tweets from some of you saying, you just said cotton-picking president
this
of the United States.
This is an existing facility. It's existed for almost 40 years.
Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take you through the looking glass to find it. A casino at Gettysburg. Say it ain't so. No, it's actually going to... Okay. Well, I guess if they're going to put it there, I might as well go there. Plus, Facebook tries to trademark the word face, and Rick Sanchez uses... he says a poor choice of words while discussing the president. 877-876-PHIL. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard also with me this hour. I had a question. I did an interview with a guy who does a website or a blog, Bud. He asked, where did I find you, you know?
Yeah.
And I told him, I found you in Ventura, after you put your head through that oak tree.
Yeah, but on 33.
Right. And I took pity on you. And you've been with me since the beginning, man.
Yeah, long time. Sir, well, where did you begin?
I began in 1990 in Ventura.
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
Oh, okay. And Robert, I met you through your aunt Mavis about 10 years ago. And it was very interesting. interview with this cat who does this blog. Maybe we'll link it on a website or someplace once it comes out. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and our website is philhendryshow.com. And we do have a brand-new Classic Phil podcast for you, as we have brand-new podcasts every day, downloads of our radio show every single day at iTunes. Check it out. You can also go to our website and get streaming or downloadable versions of just about every show that we've got, and our archives are being made that way as we speak. So join us at philhendryshow.com. We're also on Twitter at philhendryshow. Let's see, we're at Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhendry. I guess I'm going to have to get verified over there, too, you know?
Yeah, what is that whole verified, man? I got a big, like, what, a purple check or something?
It's a blue check they give you. You know, you people at Twitter, just like everything else, you do things with your head up your rear end. Here I am, a guy. If ever there was a guy who gets people wanting to be him, or the number of different characters that we have on our show, it's me. But I can't get verified unless I send DNA samples. Meanwhile, you're verifying people like who? I mean, who was that one we were talking about?
Yeah, like Sanjay Gupta.
Sanjay Gupta. Who is, well, yeah, there's a million of those guys out there. Is that it? Make sure that this is the Sanjay, this is the real Sanjay Gupta, and not a different Sanjay Gupta. Come on. Anyway, we're on Twitter and also the Phil Hendry Show Twitter account. That's twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show, our staff-maintained Twitter account. And we have Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Hendry. It's just a friends page. It's not a fan page. It's not a I like this page or a group or any of that other horse dung that Facebook does that is getting more and more irritating as the days go by. And I really can't wait, to be perfectly honest with you, to get myself off of Facebook eventually because it's, you know, it's a very bothersome website.
What don't you like about it?
I don't know, man. It seems pointless, you know. First of all, there's a story. Did you see the story about narcissists, the Facebook narcissists? And, well, yes, I people that are on Facebook all the time are narcissists. Except for me, I use it as a promotion for my radio show.
Yeah, but what's the difference?
The difference is what I do for a living, I got to have something on Facebook, you know?
Yeah, but anybody say that, they got business.
You got a business? Anybody say that?
Well, they do. If you got a business, you know, like...
What business? Okay, so let's say that I am selling vacuum cleaners door to door. So if I have a Facebook account, in other words, that means that...
Well, yeah, it makes sense. If you have a Facebook account, you can tell people, I'm going to be coming to your house tomorrow to sell vacuum cleaner.
All right, well, then if that's true, then the article that everyone who is on Facebook is pretty much a narcissist is horse dung. If the guy that wrote that article took that into consideration, I guess he'd come to the conclusion you guys have come to and that I'm rapidly agreeing with you on.
See?
Yeah, okay. That's true. I mean, Facebook is very good for helping promote business. Far better than Twitter, where you get all of those jackballs with want to increase your tweets or whatever. What's that one thing?
No, I'm telling the city, like... get 100 more followers, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Get 100 more followers and do this, that, or something else. What I decided to do over on Twitter is I got rid of all of my individual, all the individual people that I was following. You understand what I'm saying?
Nuh-uh. But you mean like, but you're following like John Cleese and stuff.
Yeah, I got rid of that. What do I give a crap about? I mean, I care about John Cleese. Very funny. I don't care what he's saying on Twitter. I got rid of him and all of that jazz. Al Pacino, I was following him. Al Pacino hasn't tweeted since... Al Pacino may be dead for all I know. He ain't tweeted since 10 years ago, before they had Twitter. So I got rid of all of those, and the only things that I got now that I follow are, other than Rants and Johnny Bean and his wife and a few select people, you know, the rest are like companies, broadcasters and stuff like that.
Well, no, you got like CNN, you know.
Yeah, CNN and jazz like that, okay. So I got rid of everything else, and the reason why I do that is I suddenly realized I don't really care what anybody's saying, any individual is saying. I just care what the news is. I care what's going on in the world. I held on to those green wave things, those people that I was, you know, like in Iran.
Yeah, well, I follow like Jeff Dowder and Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, I follow those two, too, because they're on a show a lot, but other than that, here's a story. Facebook feeds narcissism, says survey. In a rather small survey conducted by a young psychologist, Facebook was shown to have some interesting correlations with self-esteem and narcissism in young adults. In a survey, young adults. Well, maybe I got to go back on what I just said. In a survey of 100 college students, young people with narcissistic personality traits were shown to exhibit Facebook activity that was distinctly more self-promotional. These people had About Me sections that referred to their intelligence and photos that were more about displaying the user's physical attractiveness than about capturing memories with friends. Narcissism is defined in the survey by a researcher at York University in Toronto, Canada, as a pervasive pattern of grandiosity, need for admiration, and an exaggerated sense of self-importance.
I don't know, Danny, that means, or anything, that's pretty big words and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's all like psychology, right?
Are you guys crazy? All they're saying is a narcissist is someone who thinks their you-know-what doesn't smell. How about that?
Oh, okay.
For the average narcissist, Facebook offers a gateway for hundreds of shallow relationships and emotionally detached communication. All right, okay, I guess that's true. But what I'm saying is, when he's talking about young people, I guess those are the only ones that you can't really identify as people in business who are promoting business. And there's a lot of people who do promote business in some sense, or a relationship. But yeah, I get it. There's a lot of warped mothers out there, man. Anyway, meanwhile, the study says social media is for narcissists, and it's just a marvelous thing. I was going to talk about Gettysburg here, but I got off on Facebook. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So we'll wrap it up, and we'll go to a break, and then we'll get into what's the next building that they're going to be putting on something that we thought was hallowed ground, but maybe it isn't. Okay. Paris Hilton, by the way, was arrested for possession of cocaine. That's a shock. That is... And also, President Obama takes on the birthers. You know something, Mr. President? I don't know why you're even talking about it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Never too old, yeah! Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, well, just to take a moment away from the ground zero, which, by the way, I've changed my mind about that mosque. I have.
What do you mean you've changed? You still don't want to have it.
No, I've got a different mindset.
You couldn't.
No, I'm not.
Nah, you're doing like satire now.
Yeah, you're doing satire.
I'm not doing satire. I believe that if they've got a legal right and there is nothing compelling in the law that can keep them from having that mosque there, I think that what we should do as Americans is say this. This is what we ought to say.
You're kidding me, man. You're always against it and everything.
Hold on. This is what we should say. This is what Phil Hendry will say, and if anybody else, because I see what's happening here. The more we protest, the more the ball keeps rolling in the direction of, see, Americans are racist, Americans are intolerant, Americans are racist, Americans are intolerant, Americans are racist, Americans don't care, America's a fascist state, Americans are, you know, that same. I think what we should do is say the following thing. You want to know something? We're Americans, and we've done nothing but show consideration to people. And our law, we respect that. So you can have your mosque, even though you basically spit in our face. I mean, that's really what it is. Even though we will always remember this, you got your mosque here because you decided to go ahead and spit into the eye of some people, a lot of people, who felt it was better that it not be here, who thought that even though there's no compelling legal argument, even though we really don't have the law on our side, and you do, we thought maybe you, Mr. Mosque Builder, Mr. Whatever the hell your name is, Mr. Jackass that 3 weeks after 9/11 said that the 9/11 was American-made, and all of those other marvelous things you said that we're supposed to sit and swallow. Tell you what, go ahead and have your mosque. And we'll remember who the sensitive ones were and who the insensitive ones were. We'll remember who the people were that respected the law and the traditions of our country and who are the people that were just taking advantage of them. And believe me when I tell you, if there's another terror attack on our soil, I'm sure your place is going to be real popular.
Name is Faisal Reef.
Yeah.
Faisal Reef?
Yeah.
What? Who's that?
That's the guy that has the mosque. Faisal Reef was that a reef or
Faisal Reif. You mean Ralph?
Yeah, I think it's R-A-U-F.
Yeah.
Faisal Reif. Was that the name of a reef?
Well, I don't know if they named him after a reef.
The only reef I ever heard of was Donovan's Reef. That was a John Wayne movie.
Yeah. No, it's Ralph and not Reef. Well, I heard of another reef like the Barrier Reef.
Well, yeah. But that wouldn't be Imam Barrier Reef.
What are you doing, bud?
I'm just saying.
There's no Imam Barrier Reef. It says Imam Faisal Ralph. That's the guy's name. And that cat is the guy that's putting that mosque up. And he's obviously hell-bent. And as long as we resist it, he and others can say, look at the insensitive. I heard the lady and I heard the protest. It's not about sensitivity. It's about our rights. It's about our right. That is the most selfish. You talk about narcissism. You talk about self-consumed, self-absorbed, not an ounce of camaraderie, not an ounce of citizenship. There isn't any community spirit there, not at all. That woman is a walking joke. That woman they quoted in that we had her audio on the show on Friday when she kept saying, it's not about sensitivity. This is about our rights. It's about our rights. It's about our rights. And I remember thinking, oh my God, you know, you are hammering away at your rights so much that you are taking yourself further and further away from an actual position that people might respect. You're calling, basically saying your rights trump the feelings of people who perhaps were profoundly traumatized by that incident. Other Americans we know are slobs. We get that. When Americans talk to each other about issues, we generally come off as slobs. We have very little respect in the discussion and the dissent in this country, but it is a discussion taking place between Americans. Now when I got to hear from somebody just landed from, a sandbar someplace who wants to have their mind, and no, that's not racist, and no, it's not insensitive, it's good old-fashioned American humor. When somebody just landed from some sand dune...
with one of those Velcro greens.
Velcro green?
Yeah, playing golf.
Oh. And they're yakking about this and that and what they get and what they don't get. I don't have much patience for that. So the mosque is the mosque. Now let's go to cut two. This isn't this is not an outsider so much. This isn't someone who just landed last week from Morocco and is now a citizen. This is a group of good old-fashioned Americans who want to put a casino up within a mile of the historic Gettysburg battlefield. The town where the Civil War's tide-turning battle was waged is fighting dissension in its own ranks, with even hardcore preservationists split over a proposed casino that would rise near the historic battlefield and be named for the line that divided the North and South, the Mason-Dixon Resort and Casino! Anyway, it's the second time in 5 years that Gettysburg has fought over a plan to build a casino. This time it's the Mason-Dixon Resort and Casino proposed on a hotel and conference center site within a mile, 1 mile of the southern boundary of Gettysburg National Military Park. No casino and pro-casino signs pepper shop windows in the quaint streets of Gettysburg, where more than 1 million tourists shop, dine, or sleep each year. Supporters say the casino plan doesn't tread on hallowed ground and will bring jobs, more tourists, and tax relief to the area, but the potential that a casino will cheapen the wholesome reputation that draws tourists to Gettysburg, where 160,000 Union and Confederate soldiers fought a 3-day battle in the summer of 1863, is what worries many. I completely agree. I guess that makes me just really stupid and old-fashioned, huh? I mean, can't we draw a line someplace?
Yeah, a Mason-Dixon line.
That's funny.
Well, that's what it is. They're drawing a Mason-Dixon line.
Well, they can draw their Mason-Dixon line someplace else, can't they?
It's a mile away. It's not like it's right there.
I don't know, man. I mean, you look at Disney World. Not that Disney World is a landmark. Have you seen that hotel strip they got outside of Disney World?
Yeah, but that's right outside of Disney World, man. They're talking about keeping it a mile away.
That's probably why they got a lot of people who say it's okay.
Well, they do have people who are preservationists and support the Gettysburg battlefield and the sanctity of it, who also support this casino. Barbara Schultz is a Gettysburg native and a casino opponent. She says, quote, "It seems like a lot of people, they just want more business, they want more money to flow into the community at any cost, and that's really upsetting." She owns a bed and breakfast and an art gallery. Casino principals, supporters, and opponents will speak at a public meeting Tuesday with state regulators who are considering the license application to build a casino. Why can't they have more old town jazz? I don't know, man. I just think you got to, the casinos, I get it, but God almighty.
Yeah, but I mean, well, Gettysburg, nobody even remembers that anymore, man. I mean,
that's not about anybody remembering it. Remembers it? Who remembers being there when Jesus was born?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, probably no one.
Well, 2,000 years, do you think there's anybody left?
No, there's no one left.
All right. Then why don't we just put a casino near the manger there in Bethlehem?
I don't know what the laws are in the West Bank or wherever that is.
But do you understand the point that I'm making here, okay? I'm saying suppose that Jesus was born in America, okay?
Huh?
Never mind. I'm just saying there's some places, and I would think in America, there's very few places. Well, what do you think? Let's say Gettysburg, Mount Rushmore, I don't know, you know, the Capitol Mall, all that jazz there, Lincoln Memorial and Jefferson Memorial. Okay, bang, that's done. What other places do you think are sacred?
Well, you said Disneyland, right?
What do you mean, Disneyland?
Disneyland not a place in America. I mean, it is, but it's not like, they would not made them, or it's not a battlefield.
Doesn't have to be a battlefield to be sacred.
Disneyland ain't sacred, you jackass. That's a privately owned company.
Yeah, but it's sacred.
It ain't sacred. I'm talking about where cats died. Stuff that America, you know, represents America.
The kid got squished. You don't know about the kid that got squished on the monorail.
Will you forget about the monorail? The Alamo. There's another one. The Alamo.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean now.
Oh, well, thank you.
What about, I was trying to think of the Barrier Reef.
The Barrier Reef is in Australia. Why do you think of the Barrier Reef?
Because we were talking about it.
It's not, no, we weren't talking about it. You didn't know how to read that guy's name, the Barrier Reef. So you got the Alamo, you got the, what do you call it, where their kissers are, up on the rock?
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. Everything in Washington, all that jazz, the White House, everything. You got Gettysburg, okay? I don't know, man. What about Valley Forge or something? They still got that?
Yeah, they probably got Valley Forge.
How about where JFK was assassinated? I mean, I don't know if you start preserving. Forge Theater, that's important. Forge Theater, that's where Lincoln was assassinated. Probably where JFK was assassinated.
Yeah, but what about McKinley, where he was assassinated?
That's Buffalo. They're going to preserve Buffalo, right?
Yeah, they're going to preserve Buffalo, okay.
Well, then we don't have to worry about that. But
I'm talking about the site where... Are you talking about where McKinley was assassinated? I don't know. It was in Buffalo, New York, but I don't...
Yeah, but he's right. Buffalo ain't going nowhere.
Well, it ain't about preserving Buffalo. It's about preserving the spot where he got shot, which was at some national exhibition, I think. I don't know.
Where was it?
At some national exhibition. It was at some fair.
Is it where Buffalo Bills play?
Where the Buffalo Bills play, I doubt it.
Well,
you know, so we could think about it. Well, let me get more into this story when we come back, because I got some audio to play for you, because this is really important stuff. A casino near Gettysburg, I guess if it's a mile away, you know, I'd like to go there someday, man. I've never been to Gettysburg. I'd like to go there and not see a casino. But if I do see a casino, I'd like to walk into it and just drop the whole place for $10,000 and then leave. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. If we have time, I think we should. 7 insane homeowners association rules, and President Obama takes on the birthers. That birther thing, it's too bad that a collection of brain dead people have been able to hijack an entire portion of the country's time and effort talking about where Obama was born. If ever there was, see, I'm not one of these guys that screams racism. There's a lot of people that can't stand it. They just, don't you dare play the race card now. Everybody's claiming racism now. And I would agree to an extent, but I've seen enough of this world, and I've seen enough in my lifetime, and I've heard enough over this birther so-called controversy. I can smell racism a mile off on that thing. You can't tell me And no one will ever be able to convince me that it doesn't have something to do with racism, because, first of all, I don't know of any other president that ever had, quote-unquote, his past, quote, vetted or discussed, or the need to vet his past discussed as much as this president. I don't ever remember anybody making an issue out of McCain's, for instance, birth in the Panama Canal Zone until very, very late in the process. I don't remember anybody making an issue, frankly, out of any other president and his qualification to be president of the United States, or any other candidate for the presidency and his qualifications to be president of the United States before Obama. I've never heard anybody talking about, I mean, for instance, it doesn't even have to be a controversy. It can simply be, is the guy an American citizen? Gee, I don't know. Have we ever asked that question? Did we ever ask that question about Bush? Did we ever ask that question about Clinton? Did we ever ask that question about Reagan? Did we ever ask that question about Carter? Did you ever hear it even remotely brought up? Why, then, was it brought up about Obama? Well, his father was from another country. Not the first guy to run for president with a parent from another country. Bill Richardson is one, and we can name others. But I never heard anybody make an issue out of it with Richardson. That's why I say this is tinged with a racial hue.
What color would that be?
Probably brown.
Yeah, it's a brown hue. I don't know what color it would be.
You said a hue.
Casino proposed near battlefield splits Gettysburg. So let's get back to this, and then we'll move on to our seven homeowners association rules that suck. Now then, here is Richard Kidner. He's the leader of a group advocating for the casino. He talks to Fox and says the casino, it ain't no thing.
This is an existing facility. It's existed for almost 40 years. The part of it that can be, that will be a casino is currently a sports complex. It's not visible from the road. It already houses a go-kart track, a pool hall, and a video arcade.
All right, now here is Peter Gatton of the American Legion.
Nobody can deny that Adams County would benefit from a resort. But the other issue is, how do we preserve the sanctity and dignity of the Gettysburg battlefield? We as young children growing up in this country are taught the honor and dignity that our nation has gained through its development. Part of that, the turning point of the growth of our nation, was at Gettysburg. What we need to seek to do is balance those two issues. Let's protect the sanctity and honor of those 51,000 soldiers who have given their life on the battlefield of Gettysburg. Those are an unmarked grave. Let's protect them. Let's protect the heritage and history of this country. But let's also look at alternatives for Adams County to develop economically.
Well, I agree with him, but then I guess that probably goes without saying. And the other thing is, isn't there some place where we draw the line? Don't we say at some point, okay, I know that money's important, but it ain't that important. Isn't that a good lesson to send to the kids? Yes, money's important. I'm telling you, we all love to say this. We all love to say the following thing. You know, money isn't everything. Money can't buy you happiness. Money, and yet when you look around you every day, you see people scrambling against that very thing. Everybody's looking for a dollar. Everybody's looking to make a dollar. Money is a very, very valuable thing. So it's extremely important to a lot of people, to most people, to everyone. Where do we really walk the walk when it comes to money? I can't see anything in life. I don't see anything in evidence in public life where we actually do look at the dollar bill and say, not today, there are things more important. I don't know of anything. I don't know of anything where we're not screaming and crying and worrying about money. How much we got? How much we ain't got? When are we going to get it? When did we not have it? When are we going to have it? How much did we have then? When are we going to have tomorrow? Where's my paycheck? Where's my money? Money, 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 money. So here's an idea. How about just in some areas of life we say, oh, well, this is a money-free zone, Jack. Well, what is that? The Gettysburg battlefield, okay? The Liberty Bell. We came up with a... I was talking to the guys during a break. I said, what are some of the places? The Alamo. It's cornball, sure. But these are things that are important to us. Independence Hall. You know, all of the things there in Washington, D.C. Dealey Plaza. Pearl Harbor. How close do you think a casino should be to Pearl Harbor? Go ahead. A mile? Yeah, see, that one gets people because there's a lot of people still alive that remember Pearl Harbor. And, of course, there's those of us who don't even like the idea of a mosque being within shouting distance of Ground Zero. Ground Zero is sacred, is hallowed ground. That is a memorial. The guy that bought the site is renaming it. I haven't heard so much horse dung. I haven't heard so much insensitivity and stupidity around a topic than I have around this the idea of what to do with Ground Zero, what to do with the site of this mass murder, and all of the things around it. I'm listening to people telling me, an American citizen, that I should be more broad-minded and much more sensitive. Well, excuse me, man. I mean, I just saw 3,000 people get immolated on television, and I'm supposed to just take it in stride. How about you taking some stuff in stride, baby? How about you cats that are putting up this mosque? Why don't you take some things in stride? You don't get to have your mosque. How's that feel, huh? Are you man and woman enough to take that one? I guess not. Okay, man, go ahead and lay it on me. We'll take it. You know, but I'm just saying, you can have your mosque, but the next guy that comes along with a mosque or a casino, you see, this debate about Gettysburg, I hope that there is somebody on the pro-mosque side, preferably someone who is Muslim, preferably someone who's Muslim that wasn't born in this country, because you can be a citizen and still have to get to know the culture and the lay of the land. And if you see a bunch of Americans getting equally upset with a casino going in south of Gettysburg as are getting upset with this mosque near Ground Zero, you begin to understand the mindset here. There are some things that we just don't feel are appropriate. Did anybody kill anybody at Gettysburg that had anything to do with casinos? No, but we just think it's a bad kind of a business to have around hollow ground like that. And maybe this mosque, while not being something we should prohibit 100%, maybe there's a time and a place for that too. But getting back to the argument, Pearl Harbor. Why don't we go ahead and put a Ferris wheel up near that?
Yeah, well, you can't do that, though.
What do you mean you can't do that? Yeah, you're right. They wouldn't let me.
No, because there's water there. You can't put a Ferris wheel in water.
Yeah, you think about that.
Shut up. You can put a Ferris... I know there's water there.
How are you going to put a Ferris wheel in water?
The closest place where there's land. Let me tell you something, man. Pearl Harbor is in a harbor, but there's land around there. And what do people like to do where there's water and land? They like to have amusement parks. Beaches, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know, but that's like a Navy base and everything.
You know what I'm saying. Put a Ferris wheel up. How about an amusement park near Pearl Harbor? And a lot of other places. So I just think that I think it's a no-brainer. I don't know why people can't figure that one out.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying, but you can't explain why you can't have a casino 1 mile away, then you won't even be able to see it.
You won't be able to see it, but you'll know it's there. I'll tell you something else, too. There's going to be a lot of traffic. If you got a casino there, people are going to come into town. Now, I'm not saying that there's more than one. I hope that's the only casino, but people will be coming into town, you know, and they'll say, oh, I want to go to the casino, and now there's all kinds of cars and crap. I don't know.
Yeah, the only reason they're coming to town is to see Gettysburg and say, oh, yeah, there's a casino, too. They ain't going to be coming. I want to go up and see the Mason-Dixon Casino. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't know what the people around there think. You know, it's kind of a regional thing.
No, they're going to go, I want to go see the Gettysburg battlefield, and oh, yeah, I think I'll play video poker.
I'm going to go see the, what?
I'm going to go up and I'm going to see the Gettysburg battlefield, and oh, yeah, I think I'll play video poker.
Yeah.
I'm going to go up and see the Gettysburg battlefield, and oh, yeah, I think I'll play video poker.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll say that or not, man, you know. I'm going to go see the Gettysburg battlefield and play video poker.
No, they'll say, I'm going to go see the Gettysburg battlefield, and oh, yeah, I'm going to...
Well, you forget about the oh, yeah. I understand what you mean. Top 7 insane homeowners association rules. Number 1, thou shalt not plant too many roses. Rancho Santa Fe, California Homeowners Association targeted Jeffrey DeMarco for exceeding the prescribed number of rose bushes allowed on his 4-acre property. When DeMarco balked, the HOA levied monthly fines, threatening foreclosure, and ultimately defeated Marcos in court. Or DeMarco in court. After a judge ruled that the willful rose enthusiast had violated the community's architecture design rules, DeMarco was forced to pay the HOA's $70,000 legal bill and lost his home to the bank? Number two, thou shalt not use inconsistent shingles, even after a plane destroys thy house. After a plane crashed into the Sanford, Florida home of Joe Woodward, killing his wife, Janice, and his infant son, he decided to rebuild a new home on the same lot. But his reconstruction came to a screeching halt when the HOA informed him that he'd positioned the new structure unacceptably and failed to achieve a perfect shingle match with his neighbor's homes. Threatened with a lawsuit, the grieving widower told a local reporter that he hoped to change things to avoid reliving painful memories, but eventually capitulated to the unsympathetic Jackball Homeowners Association. Number three, thou shalt not post a for sale sign. When Denise Hicks placed a for sale sign in front of her Lebanon, Tennessee residence, the Spencer Creek Homeowners Association quickly reprimanded her for a breach of contract, citing a rule prohibiting signs, banners, or billboards. Ultimately, Hicks was forced to display her realtor signs in her home's windows, hidden from view. Number four, thou shalt not offer thy homeless granddaughter shelter, assuming guardianship of their six-year-old granddaughter, Kimberly. After her drug-addicted mother was ruled unfit, Jimmy and Judy Sutler brought the child to live with them in their Clearwater, Florida retirement village. Since Kimberly was not technically, quote, over 55, end quote, or arguably, quote, retired, end quote, the alarmed HOA tried to force the girl out. Attempting to move, the Stutlers failed to sell their home, even after slashing its price from $250,000 to $129,000, and were eventually sued by the HOA. Kimberly's fate is now in the hands of the courts. Do you love that or what? These two people, these grandparents, are so intent on protecting their granddaughter because their daughter, the daughter they raised, is a drug addict, that they'll even sell their house. And is the Homeowners Association giving them a hand? Are they even extending a hand of friendship? No. Wow, man. Number five, thou must carry thy dog at all times. After Pamela McMahon, a geriatric who walks with a cane, was fined $25 every time she failed to carry her Cocker Spaniel through the lobby of her Long Beach, California condominium, which stipulates the pet's feet must never touch the floor of common areas. There are just too many things going on in the lobby, said Stormy Jack, the building's assistant property manager. The dog might jump on someone or go to the bathroom. After racking up hundreds of dollars in fines, McMahon was forced to move. Number six, no smoking, even in thy bathroom. HOA's ban on smoking in all public areas, including balconies, patios, courtyards, and swimming pool areas, has recently been extended into residents' homes. Citing the negative health effects of secondhand smoke, multiple court hearings have ruled in favor of HOAs. As Realty Times points out, the Constitution does not guarantee Americans the right to smoke in their homes. And finally, number seven, thou shalt maintain a consistently green lawn. The Beacon Woods Civic Association in Boynton, Bayonet Point, Florida, took 66-year-old resident Joseph Prudente to court for failing to properly maintain his lawn after a $600 a month increase to his adjustable rate mortgage threw him on hard times. Though Prudente was ultimately jailed for failing to resod his lawn. Jailed? This cat went to jail?
Are you kidding me?
They put you in jail because you didn't do what? The crabgrass?
No, he didn't resod his lawn. Other members of the community took pity on the faulty landscaper and paid for new sod, flowers, mulching, and functioning sprinklers. Their charity was enough to spring the elderly gentleman from the slammer, but Prudetti still faces court and association fines. Unreal, my brother. Well, there it is. Coming up on the Phil Hendry Show, maybe a little bit. Oh, Rick Sanchez apologizes for saying that Obama's a cotton-picking president. We'll be back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
What? What are you talking about?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Some people may not know about Gettysburg. We're going to get to Rick Sanchez. Rick is he's a lot of fun. And Rick is an example. Before the show in our uncensored feed, I said, you know, you've got Fox News, which is really a success because it's a talk radio station on TV. And it is. It is. And trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Fox News is a talk radio station on television. They emphasize personality. CNN is a news channel and would do very well as a news channel, except they still think they can do personality. No, you can't. One of the examples of your failure at that CNN is Rick. As nice a guy as he is, Rick is a guy who is the closest thing you'll get to someone with an actual opinion, but he can't quite really, he can't give you his real opinion because he's afraid of getting fired. So he pretends like he has an opinion. That's Rick Sanchez. But just as a final capper on the Gettysburg story, Gettysburg was an important battle because it was the Union Army defending the North. The Confederates had come into Pennsylvania, and had they defeated the Union Army at Gettysburg, there's every likelihood they would have descended on Washington, and the war might have come out a different way. So it was a battle to the finish, and it was quite a vicious battle, and it was fought in a variety of ways, and it was fought by a number of different generals, some of whom have gone down in history as great generals, some of whom have gone down in history as real jackasses. And you know the score that day, some 50,000, well, no, at Gettysburg there was, 50,000 men died on both sides. And Matthew Brady, the great photographer who took many photographs in the 1860s, took battlefield photos after. And you can see those online. You can go and look up Matthew Brady's pictures of the Gettysburg battlefield of the dead laying 3 days after the end of the battle in that field. It's carnage that you still think of if you see these pictures. So, you know, and Lincoln was pissed off because after Lee had been defeated, this is something most people don't know, General Meade, who was the victorious general that day, did not chase Lee. And Lincoln said, "What the hell are you doing?" And Meade said, "Oh, we're tired. You know, oh, come on, man. You had them and you let them go." As Lincoln said, "We had the enemy in the palm of our hand and we did not close our fist." He wanted Meade not only to kick the Confederates' ass, but then chase them as they were retreating. And he didn't do it. So it's a very, very interesting battle. All right. Rick Sanchez opened his big yap on his show and he said that Lincoln, not Lincoln, although if Lincoln had been president, Rick would have done this. He called him a cotton-picking president. On his CNN show today, Rick used an unfortunate choice of words while discussing his anger that people are lying about the president, calling him a Muslim, for example. So here's Rick on his show.
I'm just sitting here just shaking my head. He is the cotton-picking president of the United States. If the president of the United States doesn't have enough of a bully pulpit to convince people of a lie, that a lie is a lie, I should say, then, you know, where are we? What kind of planet are we living on? What the hell is going on here?
So now Rick realizes that he called Obama a cotton-picking president, and so you're saying he picks cotton. No, I can assure you I didn't mean that. Well, you're going to get in there and apologize. Oh, you can't have me apologize, or you're fired. And I got O'Reilly lined up because Beck's got the juice over there. O'Reilly wants another network.
Soon after I said that, I started getting some tweets from some of you saying, "You just said cotton-picking president of the United States for about the first black president of the United States. You're not even going to realize it?" I was just saying cotton-picking because it's a term that I've used because I grew up in the South. It's a point that's often used to illustrate frustration, show any kind of disrespect. However,
you're racist.
I apologize nonetheless for using it in case it was taken by anyone as an act of disrespect.
I think you meant that he should be out picking cotton, Rick. So, no, I don't. But in any event, that's where that's at, man. And what else have we got here? Is that it? Okay. World Famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Charles Wygand, and our associate producer and screener is Dan Northcraft. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Grab a backstage pass, listen to our archives, get the downloads. Get with it, man. This is the single greatest entertainment value in the history of the Internet, as far as I'm concerned. And we're processing, as a matter of fact, right now, I got to go and process. I got to process, but it ain't got nothing to do with this show.
Yeah. Is there toilet paper?
Yes, there is toilet paper. Later and greater. Thank you.
Phil Hendry.
I'm just sitting here.